Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Now you listen to episode 1021. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, co-host of the show, we have the whole crew. Let's start with Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning, everyone. How you doing?
Good, man. So up with you, man? Another week, quarantine life. How's that going over there?
Yeah, it's a new normal, man. It's just weird. I just wake up and I go, okay.
Like, right?
What are you going to do?
You know what? Now that every time like the weekend comes up, I was like, oh, wow, weekend. Okay. Like, there's nothing really to do. Yeah. Can't really go out, you know? So, yeah, man. And also joining us all the way from the other side of the world, we have Pete, man. What's going on, Pete?
How you doing?
What's up, man?
Yeah, just chilling here. Good old Switzerland. You know, just... It's a strange time, right? You know, just everybody just... And now you know how, now you know, I mean, Paris, I know you work from home periodically, right? But now you really know what it's like being home during the whole thing. So yeah, I'm glad to see that there has been some improvement with regards to the whole COVID-19 pandemic. Actually, here in Switzerland, they decided starting April 27th, which is a week from now, I guess, more or less, they're going to start a three-phased return to normalcy policy, similar to what this was announced Wednesday of this past week, similar to what Trump had, you know, dictated Friday, I think.
you hear Paris?
Yeah, but no, it's good. The weather's actually starting to pick up. The weather's been kind of wild out here the last couple of days. It goes from like hot to cold and everything in between. But other than that, man, doing good.
All right, that's good, man. That's good. All right, so everybody, go to GamertagRadio.com if you'd like to listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio and subscribe, follow us. If you can, please post a review. And also, you can contact us for fan mail, and here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so a couple of days ago, I know we were getting feedback. Everybody was like, hey, guys, can you talk about Sony? Can you talk about PlayStation? And the thing that we were saying to everybody, especially on our Twitch stream, there's nothing really to talk about until there's news. So recently, Bloomberg just posted an article from some sources that new details about PlayStation 5. I know I sent this to Paris and also to Pete, and we're going to be talking about this on the show. So the first thing I'm going to bring up is there's a couple of things that they wrote in this article. So the thing is, it looks like PlayStation is still going to release this year unless it's Xbox are going to delay their console release this year. Then most likely Sony might do the same. But it looks like Sony's not going to do that at all. So let's start with that. Were you guys surprised about that? Yeah, let's go with Paris.
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, the fact that COVID isn't going to be the culprit for any type of delays. I mean, yeah, I mean... Mm-hmm. They're going to come out this year. It just makes sense for them to do so.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Pete, from that part?
And it is what it is at the end of the day. Not surprised that that there is going to be an impact. We've talked about it several times already. I think the magic number that they're talking about is 5 to 6 million units for fiscal year ending March 2021. Mm-hmm. We know that there's going to be a delay, right? So...
Wait, what do you mean there's not going to be a delay? That's the point.
We know, I'm sorry, maybe delay is the wrong word, but I think we know that there's going to be a shortage regardless, right? Those things are going to sell like hotcakes immediately. You don't think so?
Really?
Well, I think if you get into the second part of what they're saying, this maybe there necessarily won't be, which is part of why Sony's what they're doing is it sounds like it's going to be more expensive than they want it to be, which is part of why this is happening, because they can't get it down to their magical price that has been a proven seller. It's going to be more expensive. So they're going to, I want to say falsely make a shortage, but they're going to make less than they did previously with the PlayStation 4 at its launch, because they would rather there be a shortage in the first quarter of its launch than to have an abundance, because it's going to cost them more to make this thing. They're trying to wait until the price lowers on actually manufacturing the PlayStation 5 before they flood the market with units. So in that sense, yeah, there'll be a shortage, but they're the reason that there's going to be a shortage. And I guess their worry is if, I don't know if we're just jumping into this now, if the rumor said it could be anywhere, from 449 to 549. So let's say it's on the high end and it was 549. I don't think it will be, but let's just say it's 550. I mean, only your truly, truly diehards are going to go grab that thing at launch, because let's also remember COVID may not affect it being made, but it's going to affect people's wallets that would buy it, right? Because we're literally going through a global economy crisis right now as well. So not as many people are going to have that disposable income. So sure, you're just your super diehards are going to probably going to run out and buy this thing if it was 550, but maybe other consumers that look, they've been hit hard, you know, financially. They're like, look, my PlayStation 4 looks pretty good right now. I think I'll hold on to this thing. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I think that all factors into it.
Yeah. Now, Pete, you want to say anything about that before I start asking some questions or no?
No. Go ahead. Let's just keep going with the conversation.
Yeah. The question I have for you guys, especially for you, Pete, because Paris just said this, like, if let's just say this is $499 for both consoles, is this going to hurt Sony, or this is going to benefit Sony for just having it at that price, $499? Let's just say $499, make believe.
I mean, thinking now more, I mean, as long as the prices are consistent across both, I don't see there being a massive directional shift. What Paris did say is true, though. You know, people are probably going to be a little bit more mindful, you know, of what they spend with the whole want versus need, right? Especially now in this current situation. Mm-hmm. What's the number on unemployment? I think it's like, you know, 18-20 million.
No, 22 million.
22 million unemployed. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to take us, that's going to take a considerable chunk out of the consumers. But remember, that's not just the United States. We're talking globally. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much of that will be offset by the rest of the global market? It's kind of hard to say. But I mean, 500 at the end of the day is still a lot, right? And I think parents, especially, because those are the ones that'll, you know, that'll be buying them for little Johnny and little Julia. But you know, they're probably going to redirect towards the less expensive versions if it's not the Xbox One X or the PlayStation 4. Those that are trying to get into the next gen, you'll probably see a lot more of the upper middle class people, or the middle class and up, going up, those that have the disposable income that can do so. But I don't know. It's going to be a challenge if they're trying to hit that 7.5 or 8 million that they sold with the PlayStation 4, if they're trying to match that number.
I don't think they are. I think that's what this whole report is saying. They realize that it's pointless for them to try and hit that mark early on, just due to the manufacturing costs of this thing. It sounds like, and again, this is why I said $549 is pretend. There's no way they're selling a PlayStation 5 at $549. They're probably going to try everything in their power to get it on the lower end of $450. So if that means them taking a short-term loss, like let's say they put 2 to 3 million out there in the market at launch at $450, they're taking a loss on that. Sure, there's going to be, maybe there is a somewhat of a demand because it's going to be a short supply. And then now all of a sudden demand goes crazy starting early 2021, because no one can get a PlayStation 5. You're going to see, you know, the eBay market is just inflation on it. It's going to go crazy. But while all this is happening, the manufacturing cost lowers. So it's still $450, but now Sony isn't taking as big of a loss to actually start making them in the new year. And then they can start to flood the market with more PlayStation 5s. To me, that seems to be the play, because now you actually create even more demand because it's harder to get. It's PlayStation. Everyone loves PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Depending on the launch lineup that they have, there may be a demand on whatever games that are available on it. Those games aren't, you can't play them on a PlayStation 4 as an example. So you have to get a PlayStation 5 to be able to play it, but they protect themselves as a company because they're not taking a huge loss to have a bunch of PlayStation 5s, you know, just sitting in a warehouse somewhere that people aren't buying because they aren't buying them because of COVID. You know, it's all circular in that way, that it's all, you know, it's like a symbiosis, because sure, you can have a bunch of units, you're taking a loss, but there isn't a demand because no one has no money, you know, so you only wind up selling 2 to 3 million anyways, because no one's buying them because they can't afford to buy them right now. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and believe it or not, guys, like I think the fans are gonna buy this right away, even before buying an Xbox One, just an Xbox Series X, just because PlayStation brand is so strong during this generation and a couple of generations ago. I think Sony could charge $450, $500, and people still gonna buy it, man. Like, I remember when PlayStation 3 came out, how much was it? Was it $600 at that time when it first launched? There was actually people actually buying it for $600. I'm like, wow.
But that's crazy. They had that 20 gig model, though. I don't remember that being that wasn't 600. That was a little cheaper, but that was the 20 gig model of it. And I think the 20 gig model also didn't have the PlayStation 2 inside of it or something. They definitely cut costs with the lower tier model to try and, you know, make it a little more affordable when the PlayStation 3 originally came out.
Yeah, and it looks like that Sony, according to this article, says that Sony is really confident with their launch titles. And now I'm thinking, like, what type of games are going to release, man, for this, man? Like, what will be the game that will be the highlight, the big game for the PlayStation 5 if it comes out that day for Sony, for you guys?
We don't know. We don't know yet. I mean, that's
guessing. Make believe.
They haven't announced the lineup anyway, so.
No.
What would it be for you? Stop trying to put it on us. What would it be for you then? How about that?
Well, I think, we had this conversation before, but I think now that The Last of Us got delayed, I think that's going to be also part of the PlayStation 5 lineup.
But it's on the PlayStation 4, so I'm not buying a PlayStation 5 for that.
Yeah, but still. But it's the same thing with Halo Infinite. You could play that the older new.
We can get an Xbox about them on the other side of this, but I think it's a similar issue.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think will be big for them.
You think The Last of Us, which is also on the PlayStation 4, is going to be their flagship launch title?
Yeah.
I disagree. I think so too. I highly disagree with that.
I mean, what's bigger than that, in your opinion?
But it's available on the PlayStation 4. So again,
it's the same thing with Zelda. It came out for the Switch and the Wii U. Wii U been out for years before it came out, the Switch. So and it sold more on the Switch than the Wii U version. So it could be the same exact thing for Sony if they do it right and market it right too. It will help out, I think, to sell more PlayStation 5. Just because people can say, "Oh, I have The Last of Us. It looks better on the PlayStation 5. Looks better than the PS4." In my opinion, I might be wrong, but
okay.
No,
I don't.
No, I don't. I don't agree with you, but okay.
Outside of The Last of Us 2, which was supposed to be their flagship launch title, I can't think of another PlayStation exclusive that was scheduled to launch in or around that time frame.
Well, we just don't know. I guess that's the whole point right now. Sony has been very close to the vest this time around, so we just simply don't know what they're going to have. I guarantee you Sony Japan's going to have something at launch. Of course they will. Insomniac, if I had to guess, will have Ratchet and Clank as an example at launch. Will we get Spider-Man? No. Will we get God of War? No. Horizon Zero Dawn doesn't seem likely, but maybe Guerrilla has a second game that's coming out. Maybe we do get a return to Killzone. I mean, there's options out there other than them having to rely on The Last of Us 2, which, if it wasn't for COVID, would be coming out in mere weeks right now. You know, that was the original plan. So there's no way at this late date they've completely shifted their marketing plan to build everything around The Last of Us 2. Do I think it can be a part of the PlayStation launch, PlayStation 5 launch, as quote unquote showing an enhanced version of it? Of course. But whatever their launch lineup was going to be was already set in stone at this point.
Now their PR plans has been changing supposedly behind the scenes. It looks like, in my opinion, it looks like they might reveal more right before June. So maybe Sony might reveal some stuff about the hardware in May. Do you think it's possible for them to also have like two events similar to what they're saying about Xbox? I can see that with Sony.
I mean, we're in speculation rumor talk radio here.
Yeah, quarantine talk continues.
So it wouldn't be surprising. They've already tried to counter Microsoft's news cycle last time when they had the announcement of the controller, right? So I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to preempt Microsoft's, you know, May hardware, you know, their hardware reveal discussion with it's probably commonplace practice now. So I wouldn't be surprised. And obviously we all know that June is what it was scheduled to be, you know, E3, that being canceled. So now everybody had to pivot and do their own, you know, digital, you know, presentation for their respective products. I would not be surprised.
And Paris, do you feel the same? Do you think they should just do one event, two events for Sony, or Microsoft?
It's hard to say. I mean, they do need to completely flesh out. They need a reveal for the hardware, clearly, right? We need to see what the PlayStation 5 is. If you go back to 2013, the way they did it without actually showing the physical PlayStation 4, they pretty much did a hardware reveal in February of 2013. And then obviously followed it up with E3 399. Everyone goes crazy with the games. And then they actually showed what the physical PlayStation 4 looked like. They've taken a different approach this time. The reveal that Cerny did was originally supposed to be a GDC talk. So I don't think it's the same. I know they did the Wired magazine article where they kind of talked more about, you know, the hardware and the specs of what the PlayStation 5 is going to be. You know, they've shown the controller, things like that. So, I mean, it's all digital now. They have a captive audience. I mean, they could just do one big giant reveal, I guess. But maybe they do split it up. I mean, it's very hard to say how Sony's good. They're just such an unknown because they didn't have anything scheduled to happen at E3. So we can't say, oh, well, June, they're going to do this, because we don't know. They said originally before COVID, they were going to have a series of events where they were going to show up at various things, like they're going to show up at Gamescom. Maybe they showed up at Comic-Con. I mean, who knows? We just don't know what they originally were going to do. And now all that's been changed and it's going to be a digital only thing. So I think everything's on the table, to be honest. It's such a PlayStation to me is so fascinating with this launch, because they're doing it different. It's unprecedented compared to what they've done in the past. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, because is Sony going to go first? Is Sony going to go later? Wait for Microsoft? Maybe have it in a different day that there's nothing really going on, so they could get all the media attention. You know what I'm trying to say? So there's so many things that they could do that will benefit Sony so much, man, if they do it the right way.
I'll say this. It really, and again, this is part of the Bloomberg report as well, it really looks like PlayStation is going to react to what Microsoft does allegedly all in May, according to you, what they do in May and June, right? They're going to react to it. So I do not think they do something before Microsoft, unless it's just more teaser stuff. I don't think they really deep dive into here's our launch lineup, here's the hardware, here's the price, things like that, until after Microsoft shows their cards. Because I do think, and Pete kind of touched on this a little bit, and I don't know, I guess maybe we can transition into this. If it's someone that even thinks it's crazy that they would be under 500. I really think they want to be under 500. They do. I think they want to hit that. They would love to be $399. That sounds like that's not happening just from the hardware costs alone or the manufacturing costs. But if they can absorb enough of a hit to be at $450 in a short term, they're going to do it, because that was part of what helped them win the generation starting in 2013. I do think, like Pete was talking about this a little bit before, he was saying if they're on par price wise, he thinks PlayStation 5. I think PlayStation would be okay as long as they have a super strong launch lineup. But I do think, and cue up people who's about to get mad at me, if let's just say pretend, let's say the Series X and the PlayStation 5 are both $499. Let's just say, right? They're both $499, same price. Microsoft, Satya was like, do it, number one, engage, and they're the same price. Advantage Microsoft for two reasons. They can now market that they have the most powerful console at the same price. If you don't think Aaron Greenberg and that marketing team is not going to highlight that until the freaking roosters crow, you're crazy. The second thing that they would have, and this is, I tweet about this, people get mad at me all the time when I say this, it all comes back now to the games, right? So again, pretend they both have a great launch lineup. Let's just say,
yeah,
Microsoft has the advantage because of Game Pass. And it's something that we've been saying for the longest. They can easily say, with every launch window Series X, you know, from November until March, whatever, every Series X that you pick up includes 90 days of Game Pass. So they're telling you, not only do we cost the same, not only is our hardware superior on paper, because really I think the game's all going to look the freaking same, but on paper, our hardware is superior, but we're going to let you play our entire games lineup and some third-party games for free for the first 3 months. It's on us. You don't have to buy nothing. Just buy the system, you're good. That would be very key for them from a marketing advantage if they do it right. But again, that all comes back down to the games. You got to actually have some games that people want to play on your platform first. Then that's when that would actually matter. So again, all this is fascinating. This is why I think you've not seen the PlayStation 5. This is why I think they've kept everything close to the vest, because they can't overprice this thing or they lose one of their biggest advantage that they've had the past 7 years. And that's price.
Now, Paris, what about PlayStation Now? Sony could easily market through the same exact thing and say, oh, you'll get it for 3 months for free. No, no, what? Come on, it's the same thing, no?
Come on, PlayStation Now is nowhere near on par of what Microsoft has done with Game Pass. I mean, no. You know, look, we're in quarantine, so people, go ahead, get mad at me on Twitter. I really don't care, but I've been saying this since they've launch Game Pass, which I think was what, 2017 or whatever, and even take it back to 2016. Microsoft tapped out on this current generation. They did. They were like, oh, we waved a white flag. You win, PlayStation. You got it. We can't compete. And even Nintendo then snuck up in there and surpassed Microsoft's generation as well. They've been building to this moment. They have the services, the hardware. They're building to this moment. That's what it has been the past 3 to 4 years for Microsoft. So if you look at the way that Game Pass has evolved over this period of time, it's to the point now where you'd be, I won't say you're a damn fool, but you're a damn fool if you don't get Game Pass. If you're an Xbox, you know, if you're invested in the Xbox, why wouldn't you get Game Pass? They're giving you their entire first party lineup, day and date of launch. You're getting some big third party games to also be included. You're getting some indie things. It's to the point where if you have Game Pass, it's like, all right, I want to play Halo good. I want to play Forza good. I want to play Gears good. If I want to play a Nier Automata, if I'm saying that correctly, yeah, I can.
Great game.
Right.
Great,
you know, game. What I'm saying? It's like, yeah, they're even allowing you to dip into a back catalog of these games that from the past that you probably missed. Right. So PlayStation Now is nowhere near ready to compete with something like that. If they tried to compete with that now, they'd be rushing it and they'd F it up, because that's not been the strategy for them. The strategy for PlayStation has been, we have a very strong exclusive games lineup that you want to play and you are willing to spend $60 per title to play. And that is true, because PlayStation clearly the past 7 years has had the best exclusive gaming lineup. I mean, Nintendo's catching up. I mean, on the back end here with the Switch, but just over the since 2013, without question, it's been PlayStation because they have the games. And that's when I think about going into this next generation, you goddamn right I'm going to get a PlayStation 5 because guess what? They're going to have games that I want to play. And they were the only place that I can play them. And that's their strategy and it's worked. So I see no reason that they would change from that.
Yeah, and the key thing of all this is the partnership that both companies are going to have with third-party companies. So I think in order Xbox Game Pass to succeed even more, Microsoft has to have really close relationships with third-party companies to have those games also available there on day one for the launch of the Series X. Or if you still have the old console, you can still play all those games too, you know? And I think Sony has that relationship, just has always been like that with them for years. Sony could do the same exact thing and make PlayStation Now slowly better, I think, and learn from the stuff that Microsoft has been doing. Because look, if you go back when this whole battle what was happening around that time during the Xbox 360 days and PlayStation 3, Sony was the one that actually changed the game when it comes with online, where you're a subscriber, you'll get two games for free every month.
Yes.
Remember that when it first started? Mm-hmm. That was all Sony. Microsoft, that managed them to change their strategy on that too for Xbox Live. And now you see that if you're an Xbox Live Gold subscriber, you will also get two free games for free to download. You know, so I think by Microsoft making these changes with Xbox Game Pass, I think that's going to pressure Sony to do the same exact thing for PlayStation Now and have first-party games available on day one into the service. Personally, I think that could happen. Right now, Sony's saying no, but it's going to happen in the future, man. They have to do that.
No, they don't.
Right now, you're saying no, but they are going to do that. I think they are.
You're just making an assumption. Again, they're the leaders. They've done nothing to change that narrative right now, right? They've not misstepped. Yeah. You're basically saying there's going to be a misstep in here, or that Microsoft's going to get a huge advantage that's going to force their hand. As it stands right now, the only place I can play Uncharted, God of War, The Last of Us 2, Horizon Zero Dawn, the list, Ratchet and Clank, the list goes on, Spider-Man, etc., is PlayStation. That is strong. You know, I tweeted this yesterday, and of course everyone gets mad when I say this, but this is freaking truth. Mm-hmm. Microsoft has had good to poor exclusive games this generation. They've had nothing great. And you get mad at me, it's all opinion, but the sales numbers bear out that, yeah, that's absolutely the case. When it comes to critical acclaim, that is the case. Name me the generational, oh my God, I can't wait till the next gen version of this comes game that for Xbox that happened this generation. It didn't happen, you know? We're already at a point where we're like, you know what? I think Gears needs to take a break or change, right? Halo hasn't been seen since 2015. You know, yeah, you can say Forza Horizon and all that, but racing is what it is. It's racing. You know, it's not something that you're not going to go buy an Xbox to go just for Forza Horizon. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So you look at the missteps that Xbox has had with their exclusive lineup this generation. That's why we have Game Pass. That's why we have Project X Cloud. That's why we have Xbox Play Anywhere, because they knew they needed to build up these services to go into the next generation to entice consumers to come back from the PlayStation side. Not to mention, look at all the studio acquisitions that they've been doing, because they know our gaming lineup sucks and we need to fix it. And that's why you have an Obsidian. That's why you have a Ninja Theory. That's why you have an Initiative now, because they realize they have to build this up and make it right this generation. And look, dear friend of ours who I love to death got freaking irate with me on Twitter because I said that Xbox still needs to prove themselves going into the next generation. They need to prove to the 100 plus million PlayStation 4 owners that, you know what, I think I need an Xbox too. That's where they are right now. If you listen to everything that Phil Spencer and these people have been saying the past year or so, they get it. They understand. This is why Halo Infinite is so critical to them, going into this generation. They can't screw this up. They can't, because they have to show that we have a strong games lineup. This is why Phil Spencer has been teasing something coming from Japan, because we have to diversify ourselves to make us more enticing to the average consumer to want to pick up our box, you know? And look, I'm not saying that Xbox is terrible or anything. Hell, I just took my Xbox One X and put it out in the family room because I want to play Nier Automata. Right. You know, because
that game is so good.
Because I honestly had it disconnected. It was just sitting here in the office. I wasn't using it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to start playing on Xbox One X. I want to play this game. Stuff like that. So trust me, I'm excited for them going to this next generation, because I can see the vision of what they're doing. But if you think that's enough to surpass PlayStation, you're fooling yourself, because PlayStation is a monster. It is. And PlayStation, they're clearly not taking the arrogant approach that they did back in 2006 or whenever it was, a PlayStation 3, because they're trying to everything they can to not overprice this PlayStation 5. They want to keep it as consumer friendly as possible. Pair that with that strong exclusive gaming lineup that they have. People that are already invested in PlayStation, you give them zero reason to give them side eye and look at the competition. You keep them focused in your ecosystem and your brand. And that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah. And honestly, and Pia, you could chime in too, but that's the only thing that Microsoft needs to do, is just have the games. I think they've done, from 2016 and on, great job with hardware and services. That's been great. The thing that they've been missing is the games to actually get the attention from everybody else. Once Microsoft show us the games, I think it's going to be good. But if they show us crappy games, especially first party for launch, it's not a good sign. Not a good sign. I think you can have the best powerful console, great services, and it's not enough, man. It's not.
And time will tell, right? And then we already know, you know, Sony has the catalog, but like Paris said, the next 6 months are a veritable unknown. We don't have a date. We don't have a price. All we've seen is hard drive speeds and a controller, which that doesn't drive console sales, right?
No, at all.
So I think once the news cycle starts to pick back up and starts to ramp towards the May, June timeframe, we'll have more information. We'll be able to have a better idea. But outside of price, because right now I'm thankful that's not my buying prerequisite. I need to know what I'm getting from a games perspective, from a catalog perspective, for PS5. If I don't get that, they're not going to see me at launch. As it is,
man, I agree.
As it is, I don't need to go into a console, whether it's Microsoft or Sony, right now. I play on PC primarily. There is no driving force from a game perspective to make me say, well, you know, even though I have this amazing gaming PC, I need to go get this now.
But see, that's where I disagree with you slightly, Pete. And trust me, I get exactly what you're saying, because I think you and I are both in the same boat.
And I think that's because you play console games more than I do. I have become the dedicated PC guy. So.
But the reason I say I slightly disagree, I'm getting a PlayStation 5 for Spider-Man 2. You can kiss my ass if you think I'm not doing absolutely. That. 100% I am. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting a PlayStation 5 to play the next version of Uncharted. I'm getting a PlayStation 5 to play Horizon Zero Dawn 2. I ain't waiting 3 or 4 years till it comes to PC, because I want to play it now. That's kind of my point. So now, there may not be a game at PlayStation 5 launch that I want, but I guarantee you in the first calendar year, they're going to have something that I want to play, and I will go out and get a PlayStation 5. That will 100% happen. And I guess that's kind of the point that I'm making overall when I talk about PlayStation. You may not have people that gets it day one at launch, especially if it costs too much in the current financial climate we're in. But of those 100 plus million people that already have a PlayStation 4, I guarantee you there's at least one game incentive to make them say, in the first couple of years, I'm upgrading to get a PlayStation 5. There's something there for them. That's my point. They have the back catalog now of trusted exclusive IPs, that there's something there for someone to go get. Whereas, again, go ahead and get mad at me, Xbox people. I don't think that's the case with Xbox right now, because trust me, as much as I've loved Gears over the years, as much as I've loved Halo over the years, Forza, things like that, Fable, I'm good. I'm good if that I don't play them again. I'm honestly good. You need to prove to me that Halo Infinite is going to be that genre defining new take on the first person open world shooter, whatever the hell it's going to be, that I want to come back and play the Chief. And I love the Chief and I love that world of Halo, but you've been screwing it up the past few years. So now you got to prove it to me that I want to come back. As much as I liked Gears 4 and 5, those were I played it and I'm good, I'll move on kind of games. I'm good. Fable, I don't even know what the hell Fable is anymore. We'll see when it comes out. You know, you got to show me that Perfect Dark's going to happen. You got to show me a Banjo. You got to continue what Obsidian's done with the Outer Worlds, things like that. You got to show me. That's where I am with Xbox. Show me. Whereas with PlayStation, I already know what I'm going to get. And I think that's the whole point.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know why people will get mad saying that. Because I look, man, I'm a fan of Xbox. I know it hasn't been a great ride this generation at all. Like, look, the only reason why I bought a PlayStation 4 after launch was for Infamous, because I love that type of game. Mm-hmm. I just love Infamous. Mm-hmm. And then I start discovering other games too that came out for only PlayStation, like Until Dawn. Super sleeper hit, in my opinion. I love that game so much, man. But there's games that is not going to be for you guys, for you, Paris and Pete. But there's games that it might not be mainstream that will make me want to buy these games for either console. So it could be for Xbox or for PlayStation. You know?
I have a quick question for you, Danny.
Yeah.
Are you buying day one Xbox Series X?
It depends. I don't know. It depends how my situation is around that time. Because either way, like if, let's say I can't afford the console on day one, I could still play it on Xbox,
right?
Xbox One X. That's the good thing. Now, if it was something where, like, let's say, like the Switch, in order for you to play this, you need to buy the Switch, then I'll buy it. I'll try to figure out, I'd probably trade in my Xbox or something to buy that. You know what I'm saying? But,
it all depends.
I need to see what other plans for launch and what are the plans for like features and all that stuff for Xbox. Like, let's say for the controller, the new controller that is coming out for the console, can I use that same controller on Xbox One X
or S? You?
Like,
why, no, and that's so, what I'm saying. This goes to your comment about the Switch, which is actually goes back a couple of episodes ago, and I was re-listening to an episode and I was yelling at you while I was on a walk on one of the earlier episodes. You said that what if there's a game that you can play on it's exclusive to that platform console version, right? But hasn't Phil's commentary for the last few years been no gamer gets left behind? So if you played it on Xbox One X, you play it on Xbox Series X. So I don't see that being something that would hinder someone from making that decision. But the question is more for you. Because I don't know if you've actually said it on record whether you would be buying it if you had the ability day one. Because technically, I don't see an overlying driving reason to buy it day one. I still don't. I mean, if I was taking myself out of the PC realm, if I was a console player, if I had an Xbox One. I mean, I sold mine, but if I had one and it was on the table, I don't see a driving reason to go day one to go get one. There's not enough change. There's not enough of a version or feature change that makes me say, I'm out. I got to go get it day one.
You know, on the real, I think this is the first time that I'm not going to feel left out. I think out of past generations, because I remember when the 360 came out, I was like, I'm buying it because, man, I'm going to play Perfect Dark, Cameo, whatever, because it's only available on that console. And this is the first time where I feel like, look, as a fan of just consoles on day one, like I'm going to buy it eventually, right, on day one. But this is the first time where I feel comfortable where even if I don't buy the console, I could still have the same experience on my old console. And I'm not going to feel like, oh, man, all my friends are playing these games. and I can't play it because I don't have that the next gen console. You know what I'm trying to say, Pete? Mm-hmm. The only one where I feel as of right now, that it looks like I need to buy on day one, depending on the announcements, is PlayStation, because there's no, how I say this, like, even if I have a PlayStation 4, it feels like I need to buy a PlayStation 5 in order for me to play those games.
Yeah, there's no technological leap requiring you to switch over.
So it all depends, and honestly, it all depends on what both companies announce during this time, the games, especially the games, like, what is it they're going to show? Because look, I could care less about specs. That's not my thing. I really don't care. I'm all about the games. Is it fun? Is it something I can see myself playing for hours, for months, for a long time? That's the thing that if I'm going to invest in something, it's because of the games, not because, oh, it's a powerful console, you know?
Well, see, again, this is, you know, we've been saying this for the past year anyways, but this, I'll reinforce again, this is why Microsoft's strategy going into the next gen, they care more about you being a Game Pass subscriber than they do you running out and going buying the brand new Series X, mm-hmm. or if Lockhart happens or whatever the case. Yep. That's why you're seeing an Xbox One X now down to $299 retail. You can get it even cheaper if you look around, because they're banking on, all right, I have an Xbox One X already. I'm going to be able to play their entire launch lineup on it. We already know third party, they're not going to make anything exclusive to these next gen consoles. So the third party games are going to be available on it as well. Like you just said, you don't care about specs. The person that doesn't care about 4K and 60 frames per second and all that, and they already own an Xbox One, they don't need to go get a Series X at launch. They can keep the hardware they already have, subscribe to Game Pass, and Microsoft wins. That's what they're looking at. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to become a services company that will also provide you hardware versus it's hardware first, then services next. That's what they're looking at. That's the strategy that they're banking on as we go into the next generation, that like Pete and I, this monster to the right of me right now going to play every damn thing that Microsoft puts out this generation. I'm good. Hey, look, Halo Infinite, 4K, all the frames, ray tracing, everything. I'm already good. I've already invested my money into that hardware. I'll get a Series X because I choose to get one, not that I need to get one. And Danny, from your perspective, you'll get a Series X because you want to get one, not that you need to get one, because your Xbox One X is already going to play those games for you. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it's definitely, when you look at the two companies, there's different philosophies there. I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong. They're just different. PlayStation is banking on, well, you're going to buy a PlayStation 5 because you're going to want to play our games, because this is the only way you're going to be able to play these new games. We ain't letting you play freaking, I don't know, Ratchet and Clank 12 on a PlayStation 4. You better go get a PlayStation 5 if you want to play that. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it's just different. We'll see which one is right. I don't know, but it's clearly different on the approaches they're taking.
And believe it or not, this is the year, this is the generation that crossplay is going to be the most important time for that. That feature is going to be super important, because the thing that I love the most is playing with my friends and family when I play games. So especially now, like a game like Call of Duty, I could play with you guys on your PC and now I'm in my Xbox and we're still talking crap and having fun and enjoying it. You know, like it doesn't feel like I'm left out from the experience. I think we need to see more of that, especially in this generation, man, more than ever.
Remember, Phil said it in 2016. At the last thing he said at the E3 press conference of 2016, no one gets left behind. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. I mean, anyone can go, because look, I've been watching them all. You go back and watch what he said.
Quarantine life.
Yeah, quarantine life. That's what he was talking about. That, like, you brought up the thing with the controllers and all that. Your Xbox One controller is going to work on the Series X. You may want to get the Series X controller because it has some new features on it, or just the ergonomics of it is different and you prefer it, but you don't need it to play the games. You see what I'm saying? That's where they're taking all this stuff with hardware. It's like, look, we're providing this amazing kick-ass hardware, but we're not saying you have to get it day one. Get it when you want to get it. Exactly. And here's all these services. Look, just be a subscriber. That's all they care about. It's just like on the business side. They just want you to subscribe to Office 365. That's all they care about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And this is a perfect example on why a service like that, it is important, especially now with all this crisis that people just don't have the money to go out and buy a $60 game. Just pay $10 or even $1 if it's your first time and look at all these games you could download while you're at home, not going out. You know, like that's, I'm telling you, I'm wondering like how much new users have subscribed or service like PlayStation Now and Xbox Game Pass because of all this. Because look, right now, I can't go to the store to go and buy a game physically, right? Everything is so far digital, or unless you buy through Amazon.com or something like that, you know,
right,
through mail. But yeah, I'm super curious about that, man. Super, super curious. So anything else about this? Good.
No, I mean, man, I think,
wow, I can't believe we spent an hour. I wasn't even looking at this.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy crap. That's awesome. No, it was a great, I think it was a great discussion. I think overall, it looks like we agree with all of this right now.
Surprised. We, all three of us, we agreed on something.
I know, right? No, but this is a great discussion. I think this is important because I think sometimes people are caught up with just the brand loyalty stuff and just they don't sit down and actually analyze like, oh, but what, how, basically at the end of the day, it's good for us consumers when you see these type of competitions.
If
if there's no competition, we're the ones going to be hurting, man, at the end of the day. And all these companies are going to be just getting this money and just doing whatever they want because there's no competition. I love this competition thing going on, man. You know, now, it makes us think what to buy, what to do.
Is there something that either of the platforms is not doing that you think is an important feature that should be added?
That's a great question.
I mean, I think the obvious is obviously Sony needs to do something. Hold on. Let me retrace that step there. They don't need to, but I think it's desirable and it's missing from their service offering, something similar to Game Pass. The only reason they don't do it is because they don't need to, right? Game Pass helps Microsoft sell title access and brings people into their ecosystem because fundamentally they've needed something to help bolster the Xbox brand over the last 12 to 18 months. Sony doesn't need it because of the success of their catalog and the success of their brand. I think that would be like the next step up for them. I don't know from Microsoft. I think Microsoft is actually hitting those steps is because I think they've actually started looking at the 12, 18, 24 month, you know, post launch schedule to say, okay, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. But from what's missing from a Microsoft side, from a feature, is the bigger question, right?
Well, I tell you this, what I think Microsoft is missing out as of right now, April 2020, is having that like a first party studio in Japan, which Paris asked that to Phil during our interview. Like that's the thing, in my opinion, has been lacking so much this generation. If you go back to the 360 days, There were some good games, man, that came out for the 360, made developed in Japan. Ninja Gaiden, Lost Odyssey, Blue Dragon. There was a lot of cool games, man. And this generation, there was none like that. None. So that's the thing that I think that that's something that we need to see the next generation for sure. Paris, you agree?
Yeah, for the most part, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I guess just going back to what Pete was originally saying, I mean, that's the key. PlayStation doesn't have Game Pass, but they don't need Game Pass. That's really what it all it comes down to. And I mean, they've done nothing to change that conversation as we go into the next gen. But it's going to be interesting to see what their launch window lineup looks like that's exclusive to PlayStation 5. What has their studios been working on in secret that they're going to have ready at launch? Like I said, I fully expect something from Insomniac, Guerrilla, and Sony Japan at launch. It'll be interesting to see what else joins it.
Before we wrap this up, I know that Microsoft announced their Xbox One X Cyberpunk theme console that's coming out with the controller, and the design looks it looks all right, whatever. Not my thing. But it's interesting that this is coming out in June, and I know the conversation we were having before is that Microsoft is trying to get rid of the Xbox One X this generation so far. $299. By the way, do you know the price for that console? Do you guys know?
They haven't said yet. They just said June.
They haven't said?
But if you go to Xbox.com, it's still being hacked, and it still says come back in one day. So I don't know if they're going to actually allow people to start pre-ordering it, put a price, if it's still tied into that, or if it's something else. You know, we still don't know. But the ARG portion of it has been solved, and it did reveal the controller and the console, which unfortunately was leaked ahead of time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I think Xbox is trying to just get rid of the Xbox One X.
Yeah. And I don't think we'll see a pre-sale availability until they announce that. Right. Cause I just can't see how much they're going to sell that for. I'm surprised that they did something towards Xbox One X and not something.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that was kind of the scuttlebutt on, Twitter. So to kind of explain, I have no inside information, by the way, but to explain my theory on what happened there, because remember, we should be playing Cyberpunk 2077 right now. I should not be on this podcast right now, because I'd be playing.
God, I got sick.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm out. I'm not. You guys handle it. I'm out. But the game obviously got delayed, but it was originally supposed to come out on the 16th of April. This Xbox One X was supposed to be a part of the original marketing for it to come out now, which there is no Series X that would have come out now. This would have been a, hey, buy the Cyberpunk Xbox One X and play Cyberpunk right now. This is part of what this promotion would have been. Clearly the delay pushed that back. Same with that NVIDIA 2080 Ti. That was supposed to be a part of the original it's coming out in April marketing. Because remember, all this stuff went in production, the marketing, all that stuff happened probably starting in 2018. They probably started scoping this thing out, and it probably actually went into production at some point in 2019 before it got delayed. So it is what it is. So they had no choice. It still had to come out, because let's be honest, when we get to September, there's going to be a 3080 NVIDIA card that's going to come out to take advantage of Cyberpunk. And then obviously the Series X is going to come out in what we're assuming November. So it's not like they just last minute, hey, you know what we think would be a good idea? Let's make a Cyberpunk Xbox One X. No, they didn't do that. I mean, that the stuff got planned a long time ago. Yeah, so exactly. Unfortunately, they still had to put it out. And again, I have no inside information. This is all me guessing. They say in June, because it's clear Microsoft and CD Projekt Red have a marketing deal together, right? So whatever this, sorry, Danny, June reveal
is going to be all in May.
You guys have no idea. It's such an inside joke. I was crying laughing a couple of days ago. All in May. But but what I was going to say is, clearly, whatever the games reveal is, we're going to get something Cyberpunk during that, during the Xbox media briefing in June, right? So my guess is this is tied into all that. That's why they're saying June. Again, just my theory. I have no inside information. I know nothing.
Yeah, he repeated that like 3 or 4 times just to make sure.
No. Here's why I have to say that. I have to say that because earlier this week on Twitter, you know, I was speculating, and someone from CD Projekt Red responded to me to let me know, look, we ain't showing nothing on the 16th. And all the Cyberpunk community picked up on that tweet and was tweeting it out and all that stuff. So I just want to be crystal clear when I say something that I don't know anything, because I'm not trying to, people will put it on YouTube and say, well, Paris over at Gamertag Radio says that Cyberpunk is I don't know nothing.
Yeah. Look, man, people also got to understand, this is all quarantine talk. When you're stuck at home, you start thinking of all kinds of theories and stuff that might happen. You know, it might not happen. Sometimes it might. Who knows? You know, so it's just a conversation. So I completely understand. Anything else besides that from you guys, from us? No?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So let's wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to episode 1021 here, Gamertag Radio. Remember, head over to any podcast app, search for Gamertag Radio, subscribe, follow us, post a review. It will help us out a lot. And also, if you would like to be part of fan mail, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. And thanks everyone for listening and also watching us on Twitch here at Gamertag Radio. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.